The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Now, I'm joined on the line by consultant medical oncologist at St Vincent's University Hospital, Dublin, Professor John Crown. Good morning to you, John.
Good morning, Claire, and good morning to your listeners.
You've had patients who've had to cancel their appointments for treatment.
Yes, Claire. We had, over the last several days, it became apparent that there was quite a bit of disruption for our patients who were travelling distances to come, either for treatment, for consultations, coming up to get news, to get scan results, to be examined, to be followed up when they'd completed treatment or actually on treatment. And delay was, I'm afraid, very common, and indeed there were several cancellations as well. And I know a few, without commenting on the rights and wrongs of the big picture situation with respect to the fuel crisis, a lot of patients were wondering, you know, what did I do to deserve this? Why should my treatment be cancelled? Why should I be spending an extra 3 hours in an already stressful situation of dealing with cancer? And I kind of am a bit sympathetic to that point of view, Claire, I must say.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure it's deeply frustrating for you if you're standing there waiting for patients to come in, but also a real worry for you on behalf of these patients who are there for you know, very serious reasons.
Yeah, no, my, I'm afraid not too frustrating for me. I mean, I can keep myself occupied here. I have lots of stuff to do, but it was just the sense of looking at people who are, you know, having cancer is stressful. Going through treatment is stressful. Getting bad news is stressful. You know, life-changing, all kinds of disruptions occur. The one thing people often say is, I want my life back. I'd like my normality back. I can't believe this has happened to me. And, you know, a lot of that, sadly, is unavoidable with cancer. And a lot of folks just felt, well, this was avoidable. I didn't need this. Why is this on top of it? And how is this helping anything?
Now, you said on X, never dawned on me that so many of my cancer patients who suffered delays getting to hospital due to the protests had been personally responsible for the global energy crisis. How naive I was. What sort of a response did you get to that post?
Well, overwhelmingly positive. I mean, it was actually a very interesting little sort of window and a slice of the current Irish zeitgeist. You know, I lots of reposts or retweets, as we used to call them, 40,000 views, lots of likes, but an extraordinary amount of very personal abuse. And the thing that really just struck me as being interesting, and I must say, not distressing at all, I can handle it, my skin is pretty thick, was nearly none of the abusers were commenting on the fuel crisis. They were saying, aren't you the guy who made us take that poisonous COVID jab 5 years ago? Aren't you the one who recommended closing down our society? Aren't you the one who denied cancer patients screening and follow-ups during the COVID, as they called it, the scamdemic as opposed to the pandemic, or referring to it as the cold that was going around the world, not the actual disease, which sadly killed a bunch of my patients. I had a lot of patients who died from COVID at the time, and that was one of the reasons why I was very keen for that early phase that we needed a, you know, a really strict reaction to it. But it was just interesting. I guess it says something about the way social media work. People, few commented on the fuel, but nearly everybody was personal comments about me and COVID.
Yeah, it's interesting how it goes back to that even still. The patients then who did make it, I mean, are they leaving very early to get to their appointments? Does it cause a lot of stress, and has it over the week?
Absolutely. I mean, people were coming in and, you know, people were good humoured about it because I think people do understand the positions on both sides of the argument. So people were not pouring vitriol on the truck drivers, but they were saying things like, you know, I normally have to leave my house. It's bad enough having to get up at 6 in the morning to come for treatment, but if you have to get up at 3 in the morning to come for treatment, it's even more distressing. And people were talking about spending hours in cars and in some cases turning back. You know, I just think it's important that the people who are doing it do understand all the implications of what they're doing, and they can, you know, weigh it up themselves, what's the right thing to do, and the government can weigh up what's the right thing to do. But people do need to know what's going on and what the downstream effects are.
Okay, I know that you don't want to get involved in the rights and wrongs of the protest, but we have these conversations around whether the protesters should meet the government ministers this afternoon. I mean, if you were in a position of power here, would you be saying, invite them in so that we can move on?
I think talking is always good. I don't think I could go much further than that. I think, as Churchill famously said, jaw, jaw is better than war, war. And I think, you know, it makes sense to try and open lines of dialogue and, you know, to use persuasion rather than other means. But if you're asking me in the bigger picture, I think it's I think there are mechanisms in society for making your opinions known. I think there are mechanisms for influencing public policy. I mean, you know, taken to its most simple, people feel that strongly about it. Somebody should form a political party which is devoted to not having tax on fuel or having reduced tax on fuel and, you know, see what support they get for that position. You know, public policy is complex. Everything is interconnected. Every penny that's not connected in tax is a penny which isn't available for special needs assistance or for people on the waiting list for hip and cataract surgery or for, you know, overcrowded schools or for underprovided public housing. So, you know, nothing is in isolation.
Okay, well, look, we'll let you go because I know you're busy there as people do make their way to St. Vincent's. That is consultant medical oncologist Professor John Crown. And one of the families affected is that of my next guest, Biba Geiger, whose daughter Chloe has a rare form of bone cancer. And they had to change their schedule to get to Crumlin Children's Hospital yesterday due to the protest. Biba, you're welcome to the programme.
Hi, good morning.
And I'm sorry that you're going through all of this with Chloe. As John Crown says, it is tough and it is stressful, but this week has been worse for you, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's stressful. Cancer is stressful anytime. Pediatric cancer is even more stressful as for a parent, for everyone involved. And when you have the added stress of not knowing if you can make it to the critical appointments, it doesn't help.
So tell me what happened when you were on your way to the appointment yesterday. How did it change things?
So basically, the day before yesterday, the night before, I was researching frantically on when the protests are going to be starting at my area. I live in Kildare and travel on N7. And looking where and when. And then we made a call to leave our house at 6 a.m. in the morning just to beat the trucks and be on the road before them, which meant that we arrived to Crumlin 2 hours before the appointment that we had. And we were sitting basically 2 hours in the car because like Chloe's immunocompromised. I cannot sit with her 2 hours in the hospital with everything going like, you know, hospitals, all the sick people around. So we were sitting 2 hours in the car and then thankfully, we made it to our appointment, but talking to the doctors in Crumlin, many people didn't. Mm-hmm. And many people live much further than that. And we have surgery in 2 weeks. So we had scans yesterday. It's we have to make those. Otherwise, the surgery cannot go on and then the whole treatment is disrupted.
And how old is Chloe?
Chloe is 11.
So she knows, you know, that when something is wrong or when there's stress around, she's going to know.
Exactly. She understands very well. We try to kind of safeguard her as much as possible from it. She has enough going on. But inevitably, she understands. And we try to explain both sides of the argument to her so she understands. We had good talks in the car while going there. But yeah, it's like waking child up 3 hours before she should be waking up. It's hard. And then coming back from the appointments, we nearly got caught in that traffic again. We were very lucky. We were just behind the truck, so we managed to overtake them. But if we left Dublin 20 minutes later, we would be hours and hours in traffic with sick child.
Yeah, and I know when you were speaking to the Irish Independent about this as well, Biba, you were saying the fear for you is that if Chloe picks up an infection, you've got to get her into Crumlin as quickly as you can.
Yes, we would be going to Portlaoise then, but it's
well, you can't get into Port. You can't get into Port.
Well.
Yeah, you can't get into Portlaoise at the moment. It's blocked in either direction.
Exactly, and we have to get Chloe into the hospital within half an hour of her developing the fever, because she can go septic real quick. And they say they are leaving heart shoulders open and everything. One thing is, not everywhere has a heart shoulder. Town doesn't have heart shoulders, and on top of that, in Portlaoise, there's roadworks everywhere. And I don't want to be stuck also on a heart shoulder and ambulance and a fire truck behind me, and for me nowhere to go. Like, you know, it's very, very stressful, and it can turn into life and death situation for someone.
And you agree with the protesters, or do you understand why they're protesting?
I understand very well why they're protesting. Like I come from farming background myself, and I know how hard work it is and how little margins there are and how little, if any, profit there is in farming. and taking, if your fuel cost, if your operating costs take over that little what's left for your family, I can understand the desperation. I think government needs to take an action. I think it's up to the Taoiseach and the government to take an action to stop this. I'm not blaming the protesters, but one thing is that they need to, as the doctor was saying beforehand, they need to really think of the real impact of this and maybe think of what is the best form to protest this now at this point.
And Baiba, how often does Chloe have to go to Crumlin?
I have to go to Crumlin every 2 weeks, but now because we're nearing the surgery, it's I have two appointments next week as well, and then the surgery the week after. And but in between, we have to go to Portlaoise for the blood tests to make sure and monitor Chloe that she's all right. So basically, we have weekly visits to either hospital.
Mm-hmm. It's bone cancer, is it?
Yeah, it's Ewing sarcoma. It's a pediatric bone cancer that she's suffering from.
And that's a rare cancer that she has. And the operation will be on the leg, will it?
Yeah, that's correct. The operation will be on her lower leg. Mm. Like, it's hard for the family. Like, one of us had to quit working to support Chloe, and we are now on one income. And it's like, we even had to set up GoFundMe page to help us through the costs of all of this. Like, the treatment obviously is free in Ireland, but the associating costs, the parking at Crumlin, the petrol, that's impact as well. The diesel price going up and down all the time to the hospitals. Like, it's very hard, and life does go on. Like, my mortgage doesn't stop because my child is sick. My bills don't stop.
Of course. Now, I can feel the stress of it all. And then that's compounded by the worry for Chloe and the surgery coming up. So you don't need this extra stress of checking all night to see whether you can get through the roads to get to Crumlin.
Yeah. And I'm just stressed because I have two appointments next week, and if it doesn't stop, it's going to be the same.
Well, Baiba, thank you very much for talking to us. And I know all of us wish you and the family and, of course, Chloe well, particularly in 2 weeks' time when that surgery comes up. Thanks so much for being with us, Baiba. That's Baiba Geiga there, whose daughter Chloe is having cancer treatment in Crumlin. They're travelling from Kildare, and you can imagine the stress of worrying about whether you're going to get there and then thinking, well, if she develops an infection, I have to get from Kildare to Portlaoise in 30 minutes and the road into Portlaoise, the motorway, is blocked. And that makes for a lot of sleepless nights if you're in that position. You can get in touch with us this morning, 087 1400 106.
The Clare Byrne Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.